Hey, welcome to the Pachanga and Possibility Podcast, the podcast where we celebrate the power of healing and transformation. I am your host, Natalie Calzadilla. Each week, I'll be interviewing experts that will inspire you to discover your soul's purpose and create a fulfilling life. I'll also be sharing some spiritual coaching along the way and personal adventures as I enter this new phase in my life as a mother and entrepreneur. All right, mi gente, grab your cafecito and a notebook. Let's get started. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Pachanga and Possibilities. So today I have something very different. I was recently invited onto the Citizens of Life podcast that is hosted by my dear friend, Anya Quinn. She invited me to talk about my journey from being atheist into doing the spiritual everything that I do. And my version of this title is really that encompasses everything that we talked about is my journey from atheist to a woo-woo as fuck business operations oracle, because that's pretty much the overarching theme and everything. But I never get on to really talk about my journey in great detail. I'm still kind of getting comfortable with doing the solo episodes and who people usually feel like cringy talking about themselves. But this interview that she did really was very well-rounded in all the things that she asked me and really got into things that I never talk about, and also showed a very my actual personality, which you guys get the very polished edited version. And this episode is going to be the very unpolished, uncensored, kind of crude, but also extremely spiritual episode information of side of me. and I'm going to share it. So what we covered on this episode is how it was for me growing up with a Catholic mom and atheist dad, my spiritual stripper name in case things go bad. That's kind of a joke. Oh, what the fuck, mermaids and fairies are real. I'm just going to leave that there. Accepting my intuitive gifts and that journey, connecting the science and research to the woo. Oh my God, the most hilarious tarot story of my life. And uncomfortably accurate. And psychic ethics, an intro to shamanism, and unpacking your crap in order to allow your magic to unfold and be revealed to you and everyone else. So with that being said, I hope you enjoy this episode. Without any further ado, here is Anya Quinn with the Citizens of Life podcast. All right, y'all, enjoy.
All right. Well, okay. All right. So the first thing I want to do is welcome Natalie. Hello, girl. How are you? It's so good to see you. It's so good to hear from you. I can't wait to chat today.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So one thing I like to do, I love quotes. Like what girl doesn't love a good quote, right? Mm-hmm. So today we're talking about spirituality. And I want to read this great quote by Steve Maraboli. It says, "It is in the balancing of your spirituality with your humanity that you will find immeasurable happiness, success, good health, and love." Oh my God, I love that. So I wanted to bring you on and talk about spirituality because to me, you're the queen of spirituality. You have a wonderful podcast called Pachanga and Possibility, and which brings up your name, Quantum Chunga. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Tell me about that, first of all, because that's new.
I just wanted to mess with you, honestly. It's not like a thing. So Quantum Sparkles is my spiritual stripper name. If things get rough and I have to hit the pole.
I love it. I love having you on because you're the most spiritual, cool person I know. This is going to be great.
Oh, and then Chunga, those are my roots. You know, I grew up in Miami and I was a little bit hood. Not that I like really, it was one of those like wannabe hood because I really didn't grow up in a bad part of town. But everything in Miami is a bad part of town. And so crazy stuff did go down, I can legitimately say, but I was not in a safe place. But anyways, I grew up kind of hood radish in the sense that
you and just, we call them chongas. So we liked hip hop and the lip liner and the ponytail look high with the bandana and the baggy pants. Like I wasn't the hoochie in the mini skirt. Like I was a girl with the baggy pants and the Reeboks.
Me too. Yeah.
My hair all curly and tons of
hair. You're the ones who love like people like Aaliyah. We could appreciate the baggy and the boxers underneath the
Till this day, I can't stand yoga pants. Like, till this day, even when I teach Zumba, I'm in yoga sweatpants. So, yeah, I still got that side of me. I'm not about that yoga life or yoga pants.
And yet, God bless you with this gorgeousness, like feminine gorgeousness, and then like this, the masculine to balance it all. The same way. I was spoiled too growing up. So got it. So chonga is kind of like hood rat.
Not Latin. It's like the Latin.
Got it. Okay, cool.
That's hip hoppy hood kind of, you know. Definitely not cute and refined. Definitely not the preppy girl.
Okay, so tell me about this. So clearly you've had a pass. Like this is what we're getting into. Let's get into the juicy.
Oh, sure.
So you've had a pass. Like what happened? Where we decided to finally just get more spiritual? Was this something you grew up with? Was this an experience?
Not an experience you had? Yeah, I grew up pretty much atheist because my dad was atheist and my mom was always Christian or Catholic, depending on the day. And I was always daddy's little girl. So me and him connected over UFOs and aliens and fixing stuff because he was a mechanical engineer and was the one that I got along with and believed in me and my art and anything that I would do and was just my cheerleader. So the spiritual side or lack thereof was probably because he was more of my role model than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And then I jumped on the Christian bandwagon in high school. I met this Christian girl, I want to say like eighth grade, I think, of middle school, not even high school. And I'm like, all right, let me put this on for size. She took me to her church and they were doing the thing. And it was very like Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
City.
Mm-hmm.
But that. I felt the spiritual like energy really strong though. And I had like this breakdown and I was just crying for like ever in that. I was so embarrassed. Oh my God. Cause I was not the kind to cry. Like I started crying in front of people like 5 years ago. Like this is not.
Oh, your ego kicked in. Your ego.
Oh man. No, I was the expert and resting bitch face and not really showing any emotions and trying to be a hard ass. And I felt all of that energy. So I put on, you know, I joined the Christian bandwagon for a few months. It didn't even last very long. And I'm like, and I made it to the part where, forgive me for not knowing all the right terminology because I don't remember, but
benediction, the
end of times. End of times is a part of the studying. And I forgot. I can't remember it. I'm having a total like brain fart. But I reached that. I was studying the Bible and I had all my cute stuff and I was learning. And then I got to that part and I was like, what in the hell? These people are crazy. I was like, y'all believe this stupid shit? I was like,
you had your own epiphany.
Yeah. I was like, nope, I don't need to know this inside and out to know this really is not resonating with me. And this seems really foolish. And I'm sorry if maybe you're listening and this is your jam, but it wasn't mine. And that's honest to God, the story. That's really where I was at and how it unfolded for me. And then I spent the rest of my 20s and half of my 30s not spiritual. I was a professional working in higher ed education and going to school. I was on the party plan, getting my bachelor's. So it took me like 10 years to get my bachelor's degree. I couldn't pick a major. I changed the majors 100 times. Then finally, I switched over and got my MBA because I didn't want to be the starving artist. So I'm like, all right, I know I'm super creative, but I'm not about that starving artist life. So how can we balance this out? And I read Robert Kiyosaki's book on Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I'm like, okay, I need to learn business. This is what it is. So I enrolled in the business world and I was a unicorn in business school. Made no friends because nobody was like me.
You said it, a unicorn. That is adorable. Yeah, okay, keep going.
Definitely didn't fit in, but I survived. And I actually, to my surprise, truly enjoyed my journey in getting a master's degree in business. And I specialized in entrepreneurship because I've always been a rebel. I've never liked to answer to anybody. I've always had a problem with authority. So I was just like, sure, I need the path that'll set me free as an artist and set me free financially and set me free in the sense where I don't have to report to anybody. So I was just trying to get that on track. And in the meantime, while I was doing all of that, my church was music. I was a dancer. I was doing not that kind of, not like the pole dancer. I was a salsa dancer.
You know, plenty of the guys that are listening are
like, you'd be like, what? Yeah, no, no, no. God made me too hairy and he knows what he did and kept me off the pole. So I resorted to salsa dancing and I was addicted. I had salsa fever. Oh man, yeah. I discovered my Cuban roots and I was dancing, performing and teaching and clubbing, and it kept me in a really safe and like, not humble,
grounded.
Like a really,
like, were you in your feminine energy?
No, not even in an energy way. I literally, like, in a really safe, like, innocent type environment. Like, I wasn't out. Like, when people in their 20s,
like, inner child.
Yeah. Like, people in their 20s are like clubbing and getting fucked up and all this stuff. And I did that in my teens. And then I discovered salsa around age 20. And then I was like, I just want to dance. And I literally did that for pretty much the decade. I was just like crazy in love with salsa dancing and doing workshops and traveling and doing all sorts of things. And then things stopped working out. Well, before I even get into that part, I was invited to a psychic development like class that was like four classes once a week for a month. And my friend invited me to this class. And I'm like, hey, this sounds really cool. So I decided to go because I didn't associate like any psychic work with God or spirit. You know, the joke was on me. No.
Right? Me neither, until recently, maybe a couple of years ago.
Oh yeah, these things are related. I had no idea. Because maybe I thought back then, not knowing anything about the topic, that being psychic was more of a mental energy and had nothing to do with spirituality, and really they're the ones that are facilitating the reading. It's not like you have some magical superpower in your brain or something that you switch on. This is something that's direct, you know, spirit is the medium in between you and any information. But I go to this class, and that class turned out to be a one year and a half angel intuitive healing certification. Like, the lady just flipped the script. Whoa. In the class.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah, it was one of those things.
She went from,
yeah, it went from like a 1 month thing to like, do you want to just do this, guys, for like a whole year and become a certified angel intuitive healer, and you can do readings too and learn about this stuff? And we were all on board, so we did that. And that's where it really, like, that big threshold of, you can't be, there's something has to exist in the world that you can't understand if you're doing readings and you're getting them right. Because I was giving readings, and we all were in class, and we were getting accurate readings, and there's information that there's no way that any of us could have known. You know, we're pulling out of, like, literally, like, thin air. We're pulling out data, and it's accurate. And you're just like, something has to exist. And I was like, well, and this lady specialized in angel intuitive healing. So her thing, her jam was angels. And I had to give in. I'm like, okay,
fine. Angels exist.
Hold on, I need to close this window. I keep getting these Voxer notifications. Now everybody's messaging me on Voxer. Okay. I had to turn that off. Sorry.
And I was like, great, fine. Apparently angels exist because somebody's giving me this information. And I'm like, and if angels exist, then I have to come to terms that there's a sort of source energy, be it God or whoever, whatever you want to call it. There's some sort of intelligent energy that is orchestrating this whole thing or co-creating this thing with us, because there's just no other explanation. And then I started getting more complicated because I found out that the angels of the sea are mermaids. And the angels of like nature are fairies. And you get into all of these very mythical creature type stuff. And I was like, I don't know if I'm ready to take this as like a reality for myself. Okay. I'm like, okay. I don't know if I'm ready. I'm like, so does this mean if I believe in angels, I have to also then believe that like mermaids and fairies and everybody in company like exist?
Oh my God, I'm with you 100% right now. I'm totally feeling you.
I don't know if I'm ready to swallow this, whatever, you know. So that's how it unfolded. Like it went from just like totally atheist to like accidentally, and you know, quote unquote, ending up in this club. Then it forcing me to believe that something existed because there was just no other logical explanation for what was happening. And then from there, once I like agreed and came to terms with this reality that we can't see, then I was really hungry for all the spiritual information. And I was inhaling everything under the sun. Yeah. Books and radio shows and podcasts and audiobooks and going to retreats and courses and trainings and certifications.
Is that when you became a reverend?
Yeah. And that was one of my stops.
Cool. One of my stops. Yeah. I've actually talked to you about a lot of those stops. You listed a lot.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things your mind like expands and you're just like, oh my God, I want to know all the things. And
wow, yeah. From atheist to super spiritual. Like the thing I love about you is that your podcast has amazing stories and different healing modalities, spiritual. You've introduced me to so much. This year, one of my New Year's resolutions is to be more spiritual. And it's because of listening to your podcast. Aww. Because when we talk some days, remember when you told me about the coffee reader and I was like, what? And I signed up that day. And then what else? The shamanic drums, all kinds of stuff. There's so many things there's so many different ways of spirituality. I tell people religion is a means to spirituality. Mm. Spirituality is understanding your soul, it's just you. The more higher you get on a frequency, the more you can hear your angels or your guides or your higher power or whoever. But that's amazing. I didn't know you were an atheist and then you went to super spiritual. Like, yeah. But you know what? And I want to cut the stigma for anybody who's listening. I want to cut the stigma out that you have to be super religious and like a nun to appreciate this stuff, you know? Mm. I think so many people relate it to religion.
There's also, there's like a couple stigmas. One of them is they think really spiritual means really religious and it's not.
Mm-hmm. There you go. They think, exactly. They think being different too spiritual.
And the religious usually don't like the spiritual crew. It's, you know.
That's a true fact.
Yeah, we have no... you know, issues
love
with them,
whatever,
and they're like, oh no, you're doing the devil's work if you're dabbling in anything that has to do with intuition and divination and believing in anybody outside of Jesus or whoever. And it's just, yeah, that is what it is. But that's one of the stigmas. And the other is if you're the opposite side, if you're too spiritual, then you're on the hokey pokey, hippie, woo woo.
Right.
You know, pseudoscience type of stuff. And right. That exists and too. You know, you have the extremes in everything. You have the fanatical and the religious, and you also have the very woo-woo pseudoscience type crowd. And it's okay, you know, you're going to have everything everywhere and people are going to have certain beliefs about stuff. that you're not going to agree with. For me, a lot of the struggle has been coming out of the spiritual closet because I've always been atheist and I was a professional working in academia and I was not, you know, in any of the woo-woo. And I still am super left-brained also, and I like my science and my facts and everything. But what's ended up happening is through all of these experiences that I had in meditation, doing shamanic journeying in these really profound meditative spaces and trance states, I've experienced really incredible things through direct revelation. And that I can't deny. Like, no matter how much my left brain is like, this is nuts, I can't deny that the day my dad died, my angels told me he's going to die today. You know? And at that point in my life, I had kind of put all the spirituality back in a box because I had a really difficult childbirth. I was kind of angry at the world, including all my spirit team. And the day my dad died, it opened everything back up again, because that day I had no choice but to open my spiritual toolbox out of despair and sat in my altar and connected to my guides and said, what's going on? How much time do I have? What's happening? And as clear as day, it's crazy with intuition, because intuition is not like a thing you turn on and off. That's like black and white, and it's not always really clear. Sometimes it's really muffled. It depends on your condition and just where you're at. But some days they're really freaking clear. And that day, I hadn't even gotten into what I consider like the state where I normally connect. It was like I sat down, closed my eyes, and as loud as day, my guides were like, it's today. You need to go down to Miami right now.
Wow.
You need to go to, and I was like, are you serious? And they're like, it's now, like hurry. Like, you may not even make it in time, just know that it's happening today. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And I got out of the meditation and I told my partner, I'm like, it's happening today, I need to go. And he said, okay, go. And sure enough, later on that day at 6:30 p.m. he passed. And even again, down to the time, I was sitting with my sister and I was like, he's going to pass while we're having this conversation. We needed to have this really difficult conversation with some other family members and try to squash some beef that was going on. And I was like, you know what? I bet you anything. And this I really didn't know. I wasn't like, I heard my guides tell me. It was one of those like natural intuitive moments that we all get. Yeah. Where you're like, I have a feeling. Yep. I bet you this. And that's exactly. I was like, I bet you when we sit down to have this conversation, he's going to pass. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. So like things like that happened. And the same thing with my best friend who had died of cancer. Same thing. She said she wasn't feeling well. I was living in Phoenix and she was in Miami. And she asked me, hey, Natalie, send me Reiki. Try to connect with my angel. Send me some distance Reiki. I don't feel well. And it was New Year's Eve. And I sat down and connected to her energy to send her distance healing through Reiki. And it was another one of those where my guides were like, none of this fluffy stuff. You need to hear, like, clearly her kidneys are failing. She needs to go to the ER right now. Mm-mm. And I'm just like, because normally my angels are like interpretive dance. Like, that's how I'm trying to like understand the messages.
Right. Not so direct.
Yeah. But right. It's like those moments that are direct and clear that I'm like, how can I? Like, I've spent most of the time in my 30s and now that I'm 40 trying to reconcile this reality. It really is. It's not like I walk around totally like on board 100% of the time. I'm always kind of fighting this because I like things black and white. I like things to be clear.
Yes.
I like things this like fuzzy reality, but pretty much literally, like, it really makes me uncomfortable because I feel like I don't have like the safety and predictability, and no reader is 100% accurate. So I'm always like, I don't want to hurt anybody, giving wrong information. Like, it's sensitive, especially if you do like mediumship stuff. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings if I get a message wrong. So I've had this super internal, like, major battle trying to come to terms with whatever this gift is. And I don't even like saying gift because I feel we all have it. It's just a muscle that we work out and you know, you get better at it with time. But moments like that were, and that's exactly what happened. I told my best friend and she went straight to the hospital. Her kidneys were failing. She was starting to go septic, and it was because her cancer had come back. And that's it. And then 5 years after that, she died, you know. And but that was like the visit that took her to the hospital that led her to discovering that it came back.
That intuitive hit saved her life.
Yeah. And I was just wow. like, this is nuts, you know? So I've spent most of the time like, what does this mean, God? Like, why right. are you doing this to me?
Wow.
I see yeah. other readers that they're like, oh, I give readings all the time and this and that. And I'm just like, oh, this is such a, it's for me. I don't know why it's a thing. And I know it's there. I haven't stepped into it fully 100%, but in my healing journey, in my own healing journey and helping my friends, it's been really like life-saving. And multiple times it gave me the ability to be there for my dad and, you know, in his deathbed. Like, I can't be more grateful for that opportunity. For some mm-hmm. reason,
that kind of connection
is there, and we can tap into that, and it's nuts. You know, we don't, none of us understand it fully, but I like to give credit to those that are trying to like connect the science to the woo-woo, like Joe Dispenza mm-hmm. and yes. Nancy Rivelato. Like, they're trying to bring in all of the science into the woo and bringing in, you know, the quantum physics into the equation, just trying to explain things and really educate more of the scientific community and realize that yeah. they're sister studies, because it is.
It's real.
It's real.
It's scientific. It's proven. Now it's proven by doctors like Joe Dispenza, who are actually saying this is what's happening in the cellular DNA.
Yes.
You, based on your thoughts mm-hmm. and everything
there's
else.
There's also, I mean, like the HeartMath Institute is another one that they're doing studies where they connected these people to stuff. I don't know. And the point is,
right.
I'm like, I don't know what all these gadgets are, but they connected them to these computers and they were showing them different images that were good and bad. And they were recording their response of like their heart and their brain when they would see these images. And they found that their heart was responding to the next image before their eyes even saw the images. So they were realizing that the heart has its own like intuitive abilities, and it's way faster than the brain. And we're getting not necessarily all of our intuitive hits from the third eye. They're coming in from the heart also. And they even say that the heart is another brain, and there's just all yep. sorts of stuff. So there's a lot of things yep. that we can't understand. And it's super annoying when they do the very kumbaya woo-woo, ungrounded, making fun of the spiritual people on like TV shows and movies. I just sit there.
It should be like, more people that are like us, you know, accepting it for what it is, because, you know, like you, I've had my own moments, you know, when I was pregnant with my second child, my girlfriend introduced me to tarot, however you want to say it. And I was like, okay. I told her, you know, I'll think about it. And I went home and I prayed about it for a while. And I'm talking about weeks before I gave her an answer, because I was like, God, you know, like, I don't know. Am I being led to this, or should I stay away from it? Like, I prayed on it like hard. Cause like you, I was like in the woo-woo closet, like, I don't know. So nothing ever, I never got a bad sense about it. I never got any bad hits. So I was like, all right. Cool, God, I'll do it. So I went, and she predicted all these things that I was concerned about. She told me what I was having, a boy, and she predicted a lot of cool stuff. And I was really glad that I did it. And that's when I got started in it. But that was the start of it, where, you know, I had to stop for a second and ask God, like, oh, is this what you want me to do? Because I used to think it was just, you know, like, you know, like you were saying, some of the bad stigmas around it is. I used to think like that too. And now here I am.
Funny tarot story.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this. But yeah. So yeah, I used to get hits all the time where you walk by people and you want to tell them what immediately just came to your heart. Like something just told me to tell you whatever. But I've not said that to a lot of people, but still, because same reason, you know, for you. You're like, what, lady? Like, who are you?
You need to ask for permission. But that's the only thing. And I want to say and make sure that listeners know that there's like psychic ethics. And I'm really grateful to my first teacher, that intuitive angel, intuitive healer teacher, that she pounded the ethics into us. Like, she did not make it a joke. And she was like, if somebody comes up to you and starts spitting a reading at you, like, stay away, because that's bad manners, because you can really, like, blow somebody's. It is. And you, if they're not ready to hear the information and you didn't give them, like, if you didn't give them permission, you could really derail them big time. Especially if it's something that they're just not ready to hear. They're not meant to hear, for you to come in and, like, spew their business out there, like somebody cheating on them or some disease or something, like, insane.
You know?
You just can't. So the most, if you feel that, like, spirit really has a message that they're using you to give to somebody else, just ask permission. Just say, listen, I'm intuitive. I'm getting, like, a message. Do you want to hear? Yes or no? No. Okay, fine. If it's yes, okay, this, here it is. But at that point, you've now given over.
I like that. I love that, actually. You know, that just shows respect. It is. The same respect you would show yourself, you're showing someone else.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. That's awesome. And oh my gosh.
Do you want to hear the tarot story?
Yes, please.
It's not a teaching story, but it's a story about how these woo-woo things work sometimes.
You're about to open a box, girl. Oh, my God.
And it's weird because I was thinking about this story today earlier. And I was like, man, just reflecting, I guess, on my journey. And I'll never forget, I was in high school. And there was this guy that was on my school bus. And he was super goth. And like super, super gothic, but somehow like he was friends with this other guy. And so we all became friends. And all of a sudden this guy's like, do you want to get a tarot reading? And I was like, yeah, why not? Like, I wish I would have had like all these tools in high school. I wish, but I didn't really know anybody. And then this guy who's like super gothic. So I'm like, do I have to be like super goth and emo in order to play with this stuff? I don't know. But I come over his house. I might have been like 16. Mind you, I'm 40 now. And he starts giving me a life reading. And he's like, you're going to have many partners.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
We're sitting in the room in his bedroom floor, and he has all the cards, and he starts pulling. Like, he wasn't doing a spread. Like, I don't know what he was doing. All I know is that he was pulling a card for, I was like, how many? Because I think I wanted to know like when I was going to get married or something like that. And we almost ran out of cards. He was pulling a card for every guy. He was like, this one and this one and this one. And we're doing like rows. I'm like, we're running out of cards here.
How old was this kid?
He was the same age. Yeah. Oh, God. So I'm thinking like, this guy is baloney. Like, what do you mean? I'm just like, hardly no more cards left. I don't even know. I wish I would have counted them. But the point is that the whole floor was full of cards, and these were all my boyfriends.
Oh, my God.
And now I can say that this guy was on point.
Oh, there you go.
Girl, I was 16. I settled down. I thought you were going 39. I thought
he was full of shit. I was like, what? Oh,
girl, true story.
You said he hit on all of it. All right. That is keeping it real.
True. Yeah, called me out.
I got into tarot. Actually, because I was dating a guy that wasn't opening up. He was emotionally unavailable. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, fuck it. If I can't hear from him what he wants to tell me, then I'll go ask spirit what he's thinking of telling me on the fifth dimension and see what that happens. And see, this is the thing about tarot. Let's talk about one of the byproducts of spirituality. So this is how tarot works. And correct me if I'm wrong, okay? So tarot, it is guided by spirit. If spirit decides to present itself, and you have to discern yourself, because there's a lot of tarot readers out there. There's a lot of them. And a lot of them are good. A lot of them are not. A lot of them are intuitive. Or a lot of them, you know, different ways of reading too. But the idea is that spirit is coming through the cards to tell the story of what's happening on the fifth dimension. And it's up to you to kind of make it happen in three dimension or whatever, ignore it. But you also have to know what is your story and what's not, because you can get sucked in and pulled in to everybody's fucking story if you're not careful. And then you drive yourself into a fucking crazy wedge, which, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's crazy. So you have to know what's your story. You know, if they're talking about some shit that ain't yours, then you got to realize that that's not your story. And often it's not your story. And the other problem about tarot is, like, I'm a natural optimist. So I look at the bright side of every fucking story. So I'm looking for the tarot that says, he's not going anywhere. He thinks you're wonderful, you know, instead of the fucked up one that's like, you a stalker, you know, it's crazy shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to know which one. But because I'm a forever optimist, you know, it didn't end up working out, because although I was understanding what he was wanting to do, it's like you see the potential in someone, you know, like that's what spirituality is. Like, I see the energetic being of who you are spiritually, but Joe ass ain't acting like it on the outside. So
yeah, but you have also can be rescuing, and that's the fine line. Yeah. That's where you say how you just said, like, you gotta know where your stuff is in this equation, because that's one of the things
you gotta know yourself.
They teach you when you're becoming a reader, is that you need to make sure that you do therapy on yourself, that you go to therapy and work out your demons, because you need to be really clear that when you're giving somebody else a reading, you're not tainting it with your own story,
your own junk.
So if you see an intuitive of any sorts who has not done the work and has not done any healing and transformational work on themselves, you can tell if you're awake. But if you're not, and you're just Joe Schmo coming off the street, and you're not really in that, you know, play in those,
you're not in those
things and those conversations of healing and whatever, you wouldn't know. You know, it's not that it's anything wrong, you just wouldn't know. And you might take somebody's reading to heart and really get messed up. So you gotta pay attention and know, as a reader and as you're getting read, you know, has this person done their work? Do they keep themselves in check? So they're a clear channel for me. And if you're a reader, have you done the work to make sure you're a clean channel for somebody else? Because you don't want to, you know, if you've got man issues in the sense, or daddy issues, that's making you be super needy or wounded or codependent, or like everybody in your family cheats, so now you think everybody else is a cheater, and now you're going to give all your clients messages that everybody's a cheater too, like that kind of stuff, you know. So you've got to do the work,
you got to heal yourself. So speaking of technique, so we just talked about tarot a little bit. What is your favorite do you have a favorite spiritual technique, or like, I know you've probably used a lot of different ones throughout your life, just because it comes as, it's almost like intuitive. Like, people either lead you to them. That's what's happened to me. You know, you've led me to a lot. So what is the one that you're into, like, right now? What's helping you now?
For me, I think I finally found, like, the thing that works for me. Like, I feel like I've passed the phase of trying all the things. And now I finally have made my home in the world of shamanism, which is the oldest spiritual practice that exists on the planet. And it's not a religion. It's just kind of a set of tools that you use to navigate the world. But in shamanism, we believe that everything is alive and everything has a spirit. And it's just a lot of tools for reflection and for healing. We use the medicine wheel for reflection. And we do shamanic journeying, which is a type of guided meditation using rhythm, usually with a drum or a rattle, as my baby rattles in the background.
Touché. Hey, Amara.
Baby, use that rattle, girl.
Yeah, right. Put the drum out, mama. Get the drum out.
Exactly. And that, for me, when I was introduced into shamanism by this shaman that I met in Miami. She used to own an apothecary, and amazing woman, such a trip. You would have loved her. She was super down, like that vibe that you and I have. It's the same type of character, just hilarious and super strong woman. And she was half Puerto Rican, half American, and was introduced to Native teachings through Lynn Andrews, which is a like kind of a Beverly Hills shaman, that best-selling author, and she's published like probably 30 books already by now. And I had joined the mystery school. I was led through Denise, who led these many events at her home, one of which is how I ended up becoming a minister, but that's a whole other story. But I was introduced to it. I read the books. I read like the first book, and I was like, oh my God. And they would hold shaman council meetings at her house, because she was a representative for like South Florida. for Lynn Andrews' teachings. And then I went and I won a scholarship to the mystery school. And I just started learning about...
Oh, divine. Look at all the divine steps.
That yeah, happened. It was like one thing after the other and the other. And I just learned these tools, but specifically within the world of shamanism, there's people who are shamans who do more plant medicine, things like ayahuasca, and do those types of like plant medicine ceremony, more curandero type stuff. For me, it's more the spiritual healing side where I like to work in trance state without any sort of help of a plant or anything like that. I'm able to fall into trance very deeply and easily. I don't know why.
Help from a plant. Did you just say help from a plant?
Yeah. Any of the
plants. You mean like not smoking weed?
No, no, no. But like, the crazy, the stuff that you see in the documentaries of peyote and ayahuasca.
Oh, sure, sure.
Where they're like sitting and throwing up and getting well and going to Costa Rica. Oh, yeah, and I've
seen
America.
That. Yes, yes. I've seen that on Goop, actually.
Yes, yes, yes. On Goop. Yep. It's a preview of that. And that's huge. I don't know, but it's huge here and it's huge pretty much all over the place now. But it's just never been my cup of tea because I've been able to go into these insane trance states on my own and have insane, yeah. And I'm like, I don't know if I can handle anything more than what I've already done on,
you know what I mean? Lower level. Like, right, that's a bit much. I don't know. Okay, wait, so before you keep going, yeah, yeah. So wait 1 second. So first of all, do you want to explain shamanism or do you want me to read what I found?
We can do both. I can like help read what you found, okay. And I'll fill in the betweens.
Okay. So this is what I found. It's what shows up as soon as I pull up Google. Shamanism is a religious practice that involves a practitioner who is believed to interact with the spirit world through altered states of consciousness, such as trance. The goal of this is usually to direct these spirits or spiritual energies into the physical world for healing or another purpose. Anything to add to that?
That's pretty much it. The only thing I don't...
Right.
It's like a really simple like version, but there's so many things within the world of shamanism. It's not a religion. It's just a spiritual practice. There's nothing that we don't like... There's no religious idols. Like there's no prophets. There's no anything of that nature. There's no sacred text. It's just us like going into trance for the purpose of healing and divination. And then helping your community, trying to like divine any wisdom to help everyone around us. But even the things like doing a power animal retrieval, which is like trendy, right? Everyone's like, what's my power animal? Oh my God, I want to know.
Oh my God. Then my kids were like, what? We get to find our power animal?
Exactly. But the real reason why they were convening with animals in the spirit realm is because they needed to eat and they needed to find out intuitively where the packs of animals were before they would go hunt.
So, not
they're just like aiming their arrow like out into nowhere, but at least if they connect in the spirit realm with the spirit of the animal and come into right relationship with the animal, say, you know, like, is it okay if you're to sacrifice and thank you? Yes. And that's why they would use all the parts of the animal because it was to honor like their sacrifice and really not have it be in vain. And so they used all the parts, but that's how they would hunt, is to be able to like find it.
What's interesting is that you say that that's how civilizations were born, created. Yeah. You know, that's how they became so rich in culture and how they were able to move ahead and move forward because of these intuitive hits.
Living in harmony with their environment.
Living in harmony.
They honored everything. They honored all the living beings, the plants and nature and rocks and the sun and the seasons and honoring the energy of the four directions and the elements of the earth. And there's just so many things that they would come into harmony with to be able to exist on the planet.
Look, listen, by the way, this shit has been happening for so long. You know, it's like we got away from it and now we're coming back to it. Exactly. And now it's getting real, exactly. You know? So this is the next thing I want to talk about because I think it's very interesting that people understand this process, because you have taken me down my first shamanic journey, by the way. And there's a way that people do it, because I've also done past life regression and it's very similar how you go and you really are. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, But what you do is you're literally guiding us to our guides, mm-hmm. right? So it's for example, the tree ceremony, the shamanic tree ceremony is what you called it. Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful because you adopt a tree that, and then you make sure you ask the tree, what can I do for you? And then what is it you need to teach me? And then you sit at the tree. I mean, you walk us through, guide us through a whatever, a talking meditation, mm-hmm. I guess you call it. And then you guide us through talking, you know, welcoming ourselves to the tree, you know, saying hello, and then, you know, looking around to see if there are any spirit animals around. If there are, you ask your spirit animal, are you my spirit animal? You talk to the spirit animal, but then you go take us through, because like you've described it before, trees are like the middle ground between mm-hmm, heaven and earth. Mm-hmm. So when you want to go into that spiritual realm, you want to get down and deep. You then guide us to a door, however that you may see fit, getting down into the roots of the tree and then going deep into that realm, that world. You've described them as three different kinds mm-hmm. of worlds. Once you get down into the world, it's like you take us almost through layers of worlds. And even though it's our imagination, that's our mental side, it's combining with the spiritual side. And then you're guiding us to say, okay, then you say, okay, we can tell your spirits, they can present themselves. And then whoever wants to present themselves, you know, and say something, they do, they can, maybe your spirit animal guides you down there, whatever. But the point is you're going down to meet your soul, your spirit guides, you're trusting your intuition to take you there. And then when you get there, they give you messages, however small, long, whatever, but they tell you things that help guide you on this earth. So talk to me about, does that sound right? And tell me, how have you been guided through this life, navigating life through spiritual help? It seems mm-hmm. to be getting clearer and clearer for you. Mm-hmm. Is that true? As you know, as the years go by.
So there's a lot of things going on in what you just described. So to answer your last question, the way it's helped me is using that method. So what you described is how I took you on a shamanic journey. And you can do this on your own or with somebody guiding you. But the idea is that you, like anybody else, can fall into a trance using rhythm with a rattle or a drum. And in the world of shamanism, everyone realized that it didn't matter what continent you were on and what community or tribe you belong to, everyone was visiting the same three places, the lower world, the middle world, and the upper world. And it's like, how did they know? And why do they all have these places in common? These people didn't even communicate with each other. You know, they were wow. apart, continents apart, but yet they all had their versions of the lower, middle, and upper worlds. And they all kind of did the same thing. And you would go into the lower world to ally with animals and your power animal and more of the nature beings. You would go into the middle world for distance healing and to retrieve lost objects. Mm-hmm. Then you go into the mm-hmm. upper world to connect with more humanoid type guides like angels or Jesus or whoever, but more of that type of guide. And then the lower world was more of the nature based type guides. Mm. And the tree of life depicts like the three worlds, where you always see the tree of life, the roots taking you down into the lower world. Yeah. And you have the tree, and then you have the top of the tree taking you up into heaven. And that's one of the ways that they would say, if you want a journey and you want to go into the lower world, follow the roots of a tree, and that'll take you down into the lower world. And there you can meet your power animal or ally with other nature beings. And they were seeing that you would have similar experiences. So that tool in particular of shamanic journeying was really the one that's been the most, has yielded the most like results for me. It's where I have gotten intuitive healings and messages the clearest, and been able to really process a lot of trauma and situations mm-hmm. there in that space. A common experience that people go through when they start going more on a shamanic journeying is like called dismemberment. And it's where you go and you're in this journey, and everybody's journey is different, but pretty much you get dismembered, like your body gets dismembered in a pretty violent way. And it's that releasing ego is really what you're doing. It's like that ending of like this 3D life where you're full of yourself and your fears and all these different things, and they dismember like your physical body so they can show you like your true essence and your light body. And it's this very like humbling experience where you see how connected you are to spirit and to each other. Wow. And all of your ego like goes out the door. And it's not like it stays like that, because it doesn't stay. Like if we were like to reach this final place, I feel like our work would be done here on earth.
Right.
So it's always a constant battle, but you remember like what it at least felt like when you had the experience and you're like, okay, that's my North Star. Like, this is what it feels like to be, you know, not an ego and be in a place of love and compassion. But girl, it's hard to stay there. You know what I mean?
Like, yo, tell me about it. And that's one of the questions I was going to ask you. Like, how do you make sure you learn the lesson once you've been healed?
It depends on what it is. You know, it really depends on what you're working on. Sometimes you have one big transformational experience and it's done. Sometimes you have to revisit it with different levels of consciousness. The same, you know, the same situation will keep appearing and you'll be able to just like unravel it more and more with the different levels of consciousness that you get. And as your vibration like goes higher and higher as you work through all these things.
Yeah. When you keep getting the same test over and over again, that means God's not done with you. Clearly, you're not passing going that test. Yeah. If you get the same thing over and over again, you have it passed because the teacher is always silent during the test. And when he's testing you, you have to make sure you don't make the same mistakes twice. You always have to learn the lessons by making sure you don't make the same mistakes twice.
When you know better, you're supposed to do better, hopefully.
Right? Hopefully.
Hopefully. Is that always the case? And dude, and I like to remind people that, man, life is messy, you know? And it doesn't matter. I don't like if people are like, oh, you're spiritual now, or you have a reverend at the end of your name or beginning of your name. Dude, who cares? Yeah. Like, I'm still human. Like, yes. I got into this and I needed it because my default is like angry, hot-headed Cuban who wants to like people. Right. That's my default. Right. Like, that is not good. Right.
I said that's not default. You gotta. It's a job staying positive.
It's not even positive. Staying just neutral. Like positive. Neutral. God, you know, that's why, like, I don't want anybody to ever think like, oh, because you think you're better than this, because like, you're doing all this work, or oh, how can you curse or say all these things or whatever if you're supposedly, that was like, this is not the same type of reverend. Like, I'm reverend and part of a universal, like a universalist spiritual center, Southern it. Christian, like Baptist church. Like, this is very different experiences. And we were trained to take the best and leave the rest of all the spiritual practices and religions. And we studied a lot of the main religions.
And our parents want us to keep the traditions of religion that, again, they're mixing up with spirituality and religion. And they force that on you. So a lot of people are stuck in that religion hole, you know, afraid to get out or afraid to think, you know, for themselves and find their own individuality and their own healing. And healing comes through finding that spirituality finding it within
you. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to do the direct revelation path and not to have someone spoon feeding you what you should and should believe in.
Right.
You know,
it's a lot of work, but it's so worth it.
For me, I feel like all of this really boils down to a coming home. Like, it's not about whatever your tool you're using, whatever religion or that. Like, all of it is just a method of like coming home to who you are, to what you really believe in, like understanding like what lights you up, what hurts you, what really affects you, what doesn't, where do you feel like super lit up and inspired and wanting to be of service. Like, it's just really tools to help you get to know yourself and fall in love with yourself so you can be like the best version of yourself in this incarnation, to just live a life that's of fulfillment. It's not about success. It's not about money. It's about waking up every day and being okay with being on this sometimes really shitty planet. You know what I mean?
And being able to
live in the better side of, you know, and the happier side of the stuff that goes on, you know, on this planet.
I highly recommend anybody who's listening to check out specifically the Shamanic Journey podcast that you have, the Shamanic Tree one. I've done that with my kids. My kids love it. If you want to do it with your kids, I highly suggest it. It just brings everything front of mind, the important things that they need to think about, the kids, that is. You can help walk them through it. I suggest you do it first, but it is a very beautiful process where you're just finding bits and pieces more and more of yourself. And you're just putting those pieces together just to make yourself whole again, which is the idea of holistic healing, right? So
I believe that episode is titled New Year's Ceremony. And I think I put hashtag tree ceremony. I'm not sure, but if not, go to my website. You'll see it. And then
perfect. Mm-hmm. So before we go, is there anything that you want to, any advice for our listeners who are looking to get more into their spirituality? I mean, I've loved a lot of the things that you've said, but what advice would you give somebody who's looking to get into their spirituality and a kind of afraid to take that leap and get out of the spiritual closet, as you say?
I want to say a couple things. One, specifically to answer that, is to meditate. If you're wanting to connect deeper with your spirituality, you don't need a modality, you don't need a tool, you don't need some famous, like some specific practice. You just sit with yourself for 5 minutes a day, every day, and you'll see what that starts to do. And there is tons of science that backs up the health benefits of meditation. Period, down to even making you look younger.
You're at peace with yourself. Yeah. And I say, there's this one thing I've said to people. Praying is you talking to God. Meditating is you listening to God. Because absolutely. God is your Holy Spirit that lives inside
of you. Exactly. When you pray, you send the email. When you meditate, you're opening your email.
I love it. And downloading it. Oh, girl.
Exactly.
All right now.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's a great place to start. And there's a million ways of meditating. I always like to keep it real with people and say, you know what? Meditating, it's not like they have this idea, the commercialized way, you're going to sit there and clear all your thoughts and be, you know, very peaceful and unattached to the things in your mind and blah, 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 and focus on your breath. And I'm like, and people get really overwhelmed with just that. So I tell people, you know what? Sit with your shit for 5 minutes. Like, that's it. Like, sit with it and you're going to feel, you might feel really antsy or you might feel really peaceful, or some days it'll alternate. It doesn't matter where you are. I've been meditating for years and some days are a lot harder than others. It just depends on what's going on. But that's a great starting point, is just to do that. And the other thing I want to say is to the soul that's out there that wants to really create like a bigger vision for themselves, that you know that you have a calling, you don't know what it is. You've been in like really hard, sticky places. Sometimes you might even feel really broken, but it's like that space of, I feel broken, low self-worth, but I know that on a really deep, deep, deep level, I was made for more. And I have right a big vision, and I don't even know what that vision is, but I just know I was made for more, and I want to create something, and I want to be of service, and I want to help others. But you just keep stumbling, or maybe you haven't even attempted to do the thing yet, whatever that thing is. And I just want to let people know that sometimes healing, like your healing journey, is required before, it's a prerequisite before all the business and success. And I say that because that's what it was for me, because I was so wounded that I needed to do my healing journey first before I can even step into even thinking about being an entrepreneur and now being able to support other healers and entrepreneurs with my business and design services or the podcast. Like, me 10 years ago would have never had the courage to start a podcast, to sell any sort of business or coaching or design package, to publish any coloring books. Like, none of the things that I've created would have never been born, like, had I not done my healing journey.
Listen to the seed, right? You know, the seed that was planted.
Not asked for help, gone to therapy, done the retreats, gone to healers, hired coaches. Like, had I not worked on myself the most to really unpack everything that I needed to unpack from my childhood and past lives and God knows where else I had things packed. Had it not happened, then I would have never been able to make space
for the creativity that I was suppressing, like for all the projects and things that I was dying to launch. Like I knew, and there was Dwayne Dyer said this thing, he said, don't die with your music inside of you. Ooh. And that when I heard that, I felt that to the core of my being, and I would just cry because I literally was like, oh my God, if I don't figure this out, I am gonna die with my music inside of me. And I know that I have a like concert inside of me wanting to come out.
Yes,
you know, like I know I have this. And I was like, what do I need to do? And so, yeah, that's why I just want to let you know that if you can identify with any part of that story, to call, like there's tons of healers on my podcast, like reach out to one of them or reach out to me or I'll connect you or whatever, like get on that healing journey. So then you can step into self-actualizing, to fulfillment, to happiness, to inner peace, like all these things that are required before you build the thing. You know what I mean? And it's not like you have to do one before the other, but at least parallel to the other, you know?
Yeah. And look, I would also recommend, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, you know, we're part of a pretty spiritual community ourselves, and we're, you know, Rise of the Creatrix. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for a community, it's great. You know, you co-create that whole space and it's awesome. I love it. I love being a part of it. But that's a great way to go too. So, you know, sometimes when you need your girlfriends or, mm-hmm. you know, some friends to go with you, because you're too afraid to go alone or you're not ready to go alone, or maybe just going alone would just be a little longer down that journey. And maybe, you know, going with friends would just speed it up a little
bit. Yeah. And seeing people who are doing the thing too, or in the same place, like just like-minded individuals. I'm really glad that you mentioned the community. Going to go on over to riseofthecreatrix.com. And there's an exclusive community that's a paid membership, and there's a free version, and there's just tons of amazing information. Maria Leandra is the main curator and the creatrix of the creatrix community.
Brilliant mind.
And I am honored to be able to be a content creator for that space. But it's true. Also bringing in the component of community will expedite whatever you're doing. Either it's your healing journey or just your entrepreneurial and journey or whatever it is that you're, or if you just have a passion project, whatever, being in a space of like-minded individuals who are not bringing the drama, who are there to uplift and support and hold space for each other while you're healing and achieving your dreams. Like that's the new era that we're moving into.
It is. It so totally is. Absolutely. So couple things I want to touch on and then we'll close out. Some of the things that I want to mention, you talked about trance. So imagine for the people who are churchgoers, just imagine swaying in church, right? Mm. Just getting, feeling that energy from the words of the pastor or the music of the choir. You just get in that shake. That's a trance to me. I mean, Natalie, correct me if I'm wrong.
There's but different levels of trance. Sure. What's happening is that your brain, when you go to sleep, you have the different brain waves. You have like the alpha brain wave, which is twilight, and then you get into theta, I think, when that's when you're like in trance. And then there's like gamma, which is when you're having these like insane spiritual, like Joe Dispenza is great at measuring these. He's done like the studies mm-hmm. when he's had his retreats and stuff, and he has the people plugged into the equipment. They're measuring everybody's brain waves while they're doing the meditations. And the ones that had like insane experiences that were out of body, to the point that one of the people were able to tell him, like she was able to see behind her. So she was outside of her body already, and she was coming up on the charts as in a way other like brainwave. So you're really the same thing with hypnosis, like you're just changing the brain waves and moving through them to reach and achieve these different levels of consciousness. So it's still very scientific, even though you're sitting in, you can be sitting in a teepee in trance with a drum, or you can be in church entranced by the music. It just depends on like where you're at. And when you're in different places, you might be like in a meditative state or asleep or in these very
multidimensional spaces. And don't quote me on exactly the names of every single phase. But that's in a nutshell what's going on.
So that's perfect. That's exactly what I was getting to, because I wanted you to go into understanding the different. I wanted people to understand that you can be in a trance. I don't want the woo-woo side of it, the trance side, to get, you know, misconstrued. So I wanted to show
you're still
that
in trance. People, and now if they want to label it with woo-woo, yeah, that's fine, but it can all be backed up by science. <Right. sides.
laughs> And the other thing I wanted to mention was the what you did, what we've done is to me, and I'll bring it kind of full circle, but I think we both are more in our divine feminine. We're more creative when we're in tune with our spirituality. I've been super creative, artistic wise, and even my creativity when it comes to my business, different conversations to have, different topics to discuss. I mean, the deeper I get within myself, the through my spirituality, understanding what my guides are trying to guide me to do, because let's be real, God put this seed in both of us to do all of this stuff. So when we listen to our intuition, we listen to our guides, we're just listening to what God's purpose for our life is. So what we do is we go inside, we get in touch with that spirituality, and in the process, we heal ourselves, and then we become this divine feminine, because now we trust our intuition. We can go through life trusting that God's got our back, so you can move forward without staying stuck because you have that faith. Mm-hmm. So that's the spiritual, that's the big spiritual bucket that we have to look at. That it's a big piece of it. It's a big piece of healing, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual is what I preach about, coming into your own, finding your purpose. And spirituality is a piece of that. And it is woven into a lot of the other stuff, physical, mental, emotional, all of it is just woven together. Mm-hmm. So spirituality is a good chunk of that as well.
Yeah, definitely. And having that balance, because we don't want to emasculate the divine masculine, right? Because that's super important. And it all depends on where you're starting, like in the gamut of the energies. Are you leaning more on the masculine energies? And masculine not meaning like boy traits or masculine men, it's being very logical in your thinking, very rigid, very black and white thinking, lots of planning. And it's that computer side of our brain that's just always calculating risk. And then you have that divine feminine that's not about planning and going with the flow and open and receiving. And it's just allowing the universe to bring to us like what we're trying to manifest, instead of like bulldozing our way through the world, which is more of that masculine energy. But they're both very important, and it all depends. It can be sometimes for some people, the spiritual part is going to bring them more into their masculine side. It can be that they're way on the other side of the feminine energy. Sure. And they're not getting anything done, and they have zero concept of time. And there's just like the complete, the whole other side of the spectrum. And they need to lean more into the masculine shield to balance out and get things done in the world,
Right. Then you got the complete opposite in everybody.
Yeah.
And it has to.
And just got to see and bring in the balance, and then know when to wear which shield. Like, which one are you going to be wearing more of that feminine mask today for this event? Or do you need to pull a project together and you need to put on that masculine mask and get shit done? It's just, you use it as a tool like any other. Where am I right now, and which one of the energies do I need to bring in more? But there's no coincidence that a lot of the people, and it's usually seen like amongst men who are very successful and achieve a million things, and then they have a spiritual crisis when they're at the top, because they've realized that they didn't have a spiritual like inner life, and they've achieved all these things in the physical realm, and they have all the money in the world, and now they're empty inside. They're contemplating suicide and the same things, because their hearts, or they haven't connected to their own heart and to the hearts of everybody else and done all, and spirit and everything. And so
I love that.
So that really is, that's like those extremes of what happens.
So tell me where we can find you again for the audience one more time before we close out, and what else you're working on now.
Oh, you can find me at natalieonelove.com with the number one.
And that's the same thing on Instagram, Natalie One Love. And I'm sure you'll put the deets in the episode show notes. And what I'm working on right now, a few things. Right now, I am helping new podcasters and new spiritual entrepreneurs. So my woo-woo family who are about to launch their businesses and they need to create their online presence. And we set you up at a very affordable price on how to create your online presence so you can be rocking and rolling and pretty much have a turnkey business within a couple weeks, and you can have an online presence, start accepting payments, scheduling your clients, or if you're rolling out a podcast, branding your whole podcast and getting all of that organized as well. So that's more of the business side of the services, design services. I'm also an illustrator, so I'm working also on a coloring book project. I'm collaborating with an author, and she's writing a magical story for me to illustrate. So I'm really excited to do that.
That's going to be so fun. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's another big project. And then I sprinkled in like consulting, like business and podcast consulting, as well as doing things like workbooks. I've designed covers to books and a little bit of everything. I once pre-pandemic, I don't know if you know, I facilitated drum circles because I'm also a health rhythms trained facilitator.
I love that.
I'm literally like 30 drums in my garage right now.
That's awesome. Yeah. Send one over to me, please. Thank you. I'll take one. And you know what? Because I just loved how, honestly, when I go into meditation, the first thing that I would do when I was meditating on my own, trying to figure it out for myself, I would say things that was grateful, that I was grateful for.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
And I would start with that.
It's a great way to raise your vibration.
Yes. So I would start with that, and my heart just naturally felt, like you said, that everything was kind of melting away, and it was just, we're just coming out of the mud. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is when you introduced the shamanic ceremony and you brought in the drums, you've actually done the drum and the rattle. Mm-hmm. The drum, because the first one we did was the drum. When the music came, and then finally the drum almost hit like the bass line on a, you know, on a great rap song. And you're like, oh,
the beat just dropped.
You're like, oh. And then all of a sudden it just immediately took me into a deeper place. And I didn't even expect it to come.
Girl, that's science too. There's so much science that has proven that following like the rhythm of the drum creates entrainment, and it speeds up like that process of going into a meditative state is sped up like big time when you use it with drumming. Yes. There's something about that, and it's super healthy. It also improves your immune system. Yeah, it's amazing. And it's just, and even also making like drumming yourself also has very big healing benefits. But that's why all of the shamans use rattles and drums, because it's like getting into like a rocket ship to meditate and get to your destination. Like it just drops you in so much quicker than trying to sit there quietly. And it all depends. There's definitely a lot of value in sitting there quietly and honoring and just paying attention to your breath. But when I go into trance, it's usually for a reason, like I'm trying to heal something, or I'm trying to get some advice, or I'm doing that for somebody else. You know, it's like there's an agenda behind it. You're going in and you're doing like spiritual work. But for regular, like I don't use that to just meditate on a normal day. Like that's just, it's a tool to do something. Either you're healing something or you're working through something. Or you're receiving guidance on something. Or you're just learning. It's a great teaching tool. Let's say like, oh, I want to learn and ally with the spirit of lavender. Then you would go and do a journey and meet with the spirit of lavender to learn about its healing benefits and how you could use it for you. Like, how is this a medicinal plant for yourself? Because it may be different for somebody else. So like, how does it want you to use it and for what? And just allying with all these different elements, you know, even you can do a spirit of fire, spirit of water, whatever. There's so many different things. You can journey and learn about a ton of things and not even have to read a book. But again, read books. I'm always team books.
I was going to say, right? We read a lot of books.
Yeah. That was another thing. spirit was like, you're not going to learn from a teacher. Like, I kept meeting a bunch of
yes.
teachers to learn from. Like, I wanted the mentorship. I wanted.
Sorry, y'all, we just took a picture. It's all good.
I wanted the mentorship, and I wanted like the stamp of approval from like another shaman or a teacher to be like, okay, go
you
off.
Are ready.
To like knight me. Exactly. like kneel down in the forest and be knighted or something. And spirit was like, no, that's cute. Like, you're going to learn directly from spirit and that's it. So we're going to like blow up like every single relationship with a shamanic teacher and call it a day. And so finally I had like two shamans be like, what else do you need? Like, you're not going to.
What do you want?
What do you want? Like, do you want me to throw you in the woods and like do some right. random like thing?
That's adorable. I mean, that's what I was going to say earlier when you hit on it. I was going to ask, how often are you reading books and how much? There's so many good things that we share with each other, you know, and books has been like, I cut out TV 5 years ago. Mm. And I've been reading so much. And that has helped me in understanding, you know, more and more about different things. I'm just so curious. I'm just an inquisitive mind. Just yes. be an inquisitive mind yes, about yes, this stuff. Yes.
It's good. But it's tricky though. Together. It's tricky because on this journey, I've also learned that sometimes we'll want to hide behind all the courses and all the books so we don't have to go out and do the thing ourselves.
All right, now. Yep. Wait, until, hold on. Spirit will push your ass out there, you know?
Yeah.
They will guide you, and sometimes they will shift. Like the world just shifts. Mm-hmm. The energy will just shift in your world. Excuse me, let me be straight. The energy will just shift, and spirit will just intervene. And we've talked about this on your podcast on, you know, when it's these tower moments where you have these dark night of the souls. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. it gets deep, you know? So yeah
when yes.
they, sometimes it
definitely
they
read
you
it always no be control. Learning till the day you die. There's never the day you're like, oh, I know everything is with the day you realize you know nothing. Like, you always are a yes. student. But there comes a time that if your calling is to do something out in the world, there's probably going to be a time where you're like done with taking all the classes and reading all the books for a while. Mm-hmm. And it's now your time to connect with spirit and channel in your information to create content. Like, it's your time to show up and be the thing instead of studying the thing all the time. So
I love that.
Yeah, it's just amazing. But I probably still, I inhale like audiobooks for a long time. It depends. Now that I have a kid, I'm back to audiobook like land.
I've never done an audiobook. I
what? Girl, it's life changing. I've read like books. Hundreds of books because of audiobooks. What? Hundreds. Like,
seriously?
That's, yeah. Like those things.
I need to try it. Yes, okay. Yes, yes. I just, there's something about reading the words of a book and actually having a book in my hand. I have.
I love it too. I get it. I have the Kindle Paperwhite. And I love paper books. For me, I didn't grow up reading. I started to love readings at like 26, 27 years old. It just switched for me and I became like a voracious reader. But before that, yeah. I did not want to read anything. And so for me, when I read a book, I'm like, don't give me anything fictional. Like, if I'm going to read, I better learn something. Like, right. I'm not going to read some like, junk
novel about
some junk novel right. for that. I'll watch Netflix. Right. Like, seriously, like,
or,
no.
Or my life.
Exactly. You know? Life exactly. Exactly.
I live in my own fantasy world anyways.
So when I read a book, for me, they're like little trophies and I like happily like put them back on my shelf because I'm like, ooh, I read a book. Ooh, I read another book. Now I got over that. Yeah, like, but in the beginning,
it's like in the shelf of your brain. Because I mean, just listening to you, I've heard you quote a lot of different books that I've read. Dr. Joe Dispenza. I mean, you said Wayne Dyer. Mm-hmm. I mean, just look quotes and stuff like that. So yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and it stays.
Okay, well, oh audio format,
it'll stay in your brain.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. It sure will, especially if you write it down. All right. Well, this has been juicy.
This is great. Exactly I think what I'm going to ask you for this audio file so I can put it on my podcast
yes,
too.
Do it. Absolutely.
Because so I shared good. A lot of things and a side of me that I don't normally share.
Yes, you did. I didn't even know. And this is even better because now your audience can get to know you and who you are. That's the one episode I've yet to see.
Yeah. It's so really I was good. Thinking about doing yeah, an episode that covered that because I've never really yes. gotten
turn into. They don't really know. I always do guests. I never do like solo episodes and really talk about my path. So I think I'm going to steal this.
You're a wonderful guest. And God, I could seriously have you on again. So, you know, for people out there listening, if you would like to know more and have her on again, you know, let me know in the comments below or something, or DM me or whatever. And let me know what you want to talk about with Natalie, because she's a wealth of knowledge and she's super smart. Oh, and last plug. Okay, I promise. And then we'll go. Uh-oh. Natalie is a genius. She has two sides to her. Yeah, two different sides to her. She's super smart and techie. It was her job. That's what she did in the past. And then she's joined forces with that as her business. So if you have anything, like she was saying earlier, if you have anything that you want to get started in having a platform and having a voice, and you don't know where to start because there's so many different tools, we can both attest to that. Mm-hmm. Get with Natalie, do a consultation with her, and then, you know, find the package that works for you, because it is great. I have used her services and she is genius. She gives you she lets you record it, gives you the video, whatever you get to, you know, she will walk you through it. And you see how calm she is, right? This is how she is typically. She's just hilarious with it. So she has the patience of Jesus. She is a great trainer.
My boyfriend would disagree about the patience.
Well, he's different. He's not a client. So anyways, that's the last plug that I want to put out there. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's been a pleasure. And I look forward to seeing everything else you've got going on in the future.
Yes, and I look forward to seeing you, what you're going to be cooking up now.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited.
Lots of amazingness coming down.
Well, thanks for being my first guest. I love you.
For sure.
Until next time, ladies, gentlemen, it's been real, citizens of life. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. Until then, bye.
Bye.